Welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis. And with us today, Beth Corrales, Communications Director for the Delaware Breast Cancer Coalition. Welcome back, Beth.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Breast cancer is more than just October, so thank you for having me on to talk a little bit about our programs and our upcoming events and services.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about the Delaware Breast Cancer Coalition? It's history and its mission in a nutshell, and then we'll expand on that.
Yes, absolutely. The Delaware Breast Cancer Coalition is a statewide nonprofit. We have programs and services designed to educate the community about breast cancer, risk factors, different types of breast cancer, when to begin screening. We also provide outreach and education and funding to underserved communities to get their breast cancer screenings, operating a statewide mobile mammography van, and it also provides cervical screenings these days to people who might not otherwise be able to go to the doctor's office to get their screenings. And we also work with newly diagnosed survivors and their families to help them through their treatment, help them through their journey, and provide ongoing services and support to them, and honoring those who are living with breast cancer. So we're pretty comprehensive. We're in all three counties. We have offices in Wilmington, Dover, and Rehoboth, and we provide services to our neighboring communities in Pennsylvania, Maryland, and New Jersey as well.
Before we get into the mission again, do you want to talk a little bit about the prevalence of breast cancer? Are we seeing it go up? Are we seeing it go down? Mortality rate, up, down? Age, up, down?
Certainly. Breast cancer is a very common disease, and prognosis for breast cancer diagnosis is generally pretty good. Unfortunately, we screen more people, we see a lot of new cases of breast cancer. The estimates for 2017, I guess, you know, now that we're in 2018, we'll have to update these numbers. But the American Cancer Society comes up with estimates each year, about 255,180 new cases of invasive breast cancer were expected to be diagnosed in 2017. Most of those were women, a small number of men. For women, it's about 1 in 8 chance in her lifetime. For a man, it's about 1 in 1,000 chance in his lifetime of being diagnosed. And most people go through treatment and they are okay depending on their outcome. But unfortunately, we saw probably over 41,000 deaths from breast cancer in the United States overall. So it's the second leading cause of cancer deaths in women. And, you know, right here in Delaware, we see probably over 800 cases of newly diagnosed patients in a year and about 130 estimated deaths in female breast cancer in 2017.
You're kind of a repository for people who are interested, the layperson who wants to have facts and details and information about breast cancer. And we always hear recommendations about when you should start getting tested, blah, 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 blah. Should we be going earlier and earlier now? Are we seeing younger people being diagnosed, and is that because we're screening them, or are we getting it at an earlier age?
You know, this is probably the most common source of confusion, I would say, in our current day and age when it comes to breast cancer, because there are a lot of different recommendations coming out from the U.S. Preventative Task Force, from the American Cancer Society. We work with the Delaware Cancer Consortium, so our guidelines say that an average risk of breast cancer, if you don't have a family history, if you live a pretty healthy lifestyle, you should speak to your doctor. At age 40, you should begin screening, at least have a baseline mammogram at that point. Then, depending on your risk factors and your doctor's recommendation, you'd probably get screened every year or every other year. And before that, you would probably not get a mammogram. You might just get a clinical breast exam from your OBGYN. But that's for the average person. If you have a family history of breast cancer, either on your mother's side of the family or your father's side of the family, an aunt, a grandmother, even if it was a male relative, you would want to talk to your doctor because your risk factors would be higher and you might begin screening earlier. Right now, the recommendation is if your mother had breast cancer at age 40, you would begin screening 10 years prior to her initial diagnosis. So you might start at age 30. And with certain genetic testing that they have available today. You might even speak to your doctor about getting genetic testing, because if you have a strong family history where you had a mother, a grandmother, an aunt, you could have a genetic disposition to breast cancer, something like the BRCA gene mutation that a lot of people know about. Or it could be a gene that we haven't even heard of yet. So we're still, you know, the science is always evolving when it comes to genetic testing, but it's readily available to people. And a lot of times if your insurance will cover it, it would be a good option for you. But it's unique to the individual.
So a healthy woman who is taking care of herself, getting the exercise, eating properly, et cetera, and doesn't have a strong doesn't have a family history at all, listen to the doctor and go at 40, or what they say.
Yeah, listen to your doctor. We're going to recommend that you start at age 40, but your doctor might say, you know, you don't need to start till age 45. And if you're comfortable with that, then that might be okay for you. But, you know, we're teaching women to really learn more. Visit our website, debreastcancer.org. Look up some of the risk factors. Some of them are risk factors you can control, like living a healthy lifestyle, getting moderate exercise, avoiding or moderating your use of alcohol, not smoking. But some of these risk factors are things that you can't control. Like, unfortunately, being a woman is a risk factor for having breast cancer. Aging is another risk factor. So we can't control some of these lifestyle factors, but we can control others. So be your own best advocate. See what's out there and talk to your doctor. And, you know, if you have a doctor who maybe isn't listening to your concerns, then it's okay to see another doctor and get a second opinion. And you should be able to have these conversations with your physician. And luckily here in Delaware and Pennsylvania, we're in a part of the country where there's lots of available healthcare providers to really listen to your concerns.
You said a couple of trigger words there earlier. You said if you're comfortable take control, et cetera. And part of the mission is empowerment, isn't it?
It is. It is, because you're your own best healthcare advocate. And if you're not asking the questions, if you're not sure, you know, what you should be concerned about, you could feel numb. You could walk into the doctor's office and just be overwhelmed with information. So we would be happy to be a resource to anyone who's going through, you know, if somebody goes for their mammogram and they hear a lot from their doctor and they're not quite sure what it means and they need someone to help explain it to them, you know, we're here. We have our website, debreastcancer.org, but we also have staff members who are survivors themselves who'd be happy to talk somebody through, you know, when they get called back for a second mammogram or anything diagnostic, if something comes back abnormal. It's very common to have an abnormal mammogram. It doesn't mean that you have breast cancer. It just might mean that they need you to come back and get a second look or get an MRI or just, you know, they want to be safe. So they'd rather get a second look just to make sure everything's okay than just ignore what could be a problem area. For younger women, like you had asked a little earlier about getting mammograms, the reason why we don't recommend it is because when women are younger, their breasts are more dense and it's hard to identify tumors versus dense tissue in your breasts. Your breasts are less fatty at that point. So that's why we don't generally screen younger women unless they have a higher risk factor. But if a doctor notices something that they're not sure what it is, then they might call you back for a second look. And then now we have different types of mammograms. So you can get a digital mammogram, which is, you know, top quality medical tool that we have available, but there's also 3D mammograms. So if you have what's considered dense breasts, then it might be a better image for your doctor and they might recommend that you get it, and then you might have to do it with your insurance. So there's a lot of confusion out there, and we understand what women are going through. So that's why if you're confused, then please call us and we can help you.
So we don't have to have a diagnosis to pick up the phone and call. It's the first time that they say, oh, well, we need to do this again, and your heart drops through your feet.
Yeah, you assume the worst because that's probably your natural instinct, but it doesn't mean the worst. It just means that your doctors want to be thorough, they want to get a good look, and then they want to be able to compare that maybe baseline mammogram 2 years to the next mammogram you get in a year or two. So they can compare, you know, this changed, this didn't change. Sometimes if it is a tumor, sometimes they grow very slowly, and in that case, they might have a different a recommendation for you than something that's growing very quickly. It's, you know, medicine today is so personalized that it really depends on the individual. We can't say, you know, this is the case for every woman.
And that raises another question about the empowerment idea, because if you do get a diagnosis, and there are now so many different types of breast cancer, there are categories now. It used to be you got breast cancer, but now, is it this one? Is it that one? Is it that? And there are so many different treatment options. How does somebody take control and take charge and become empowered when they're bombarded with information? And guess what? Most of us, we're not med students.
Exactly. I think, you know, you might get like a diagnosis paralysis because there are so many options available. But one of the great programs that we have at DBCC is our peer mentoring program, and it offers one-on-one support by a trained breast cancer survivor. So if you're going through your diagnosis, and let's just say, for example, that you have stage 2 estrogen positive breast cancer, which is a very specific type of breast cancer, we can match you up with a trained peer mentor who had that same diagnosis and went through, let's just say, chemotherapy. So you can talk to someone who went through that experience and see what they thought of it, any problems that they had, if they would recommend it to somebody else, which doctor they saw. And then maybe you want to talk to someone who didn't go through chemotherapy but instead had a mastectomy. And, you know, we have a database full of survivors who are active with the Breast Cancer Coalition, who are trained in how to communicate with a newly diagnosed patient, who you can get their perspective. And it's really, we find it, and our survivors find it helpful to talk to somebody who's been there, been through that journey, and get their feedback, and it might help you make a decision, because based on what they went through, they might have lessons that you would never know otherwise. There are a lot of treatment options available, and it depends on your diagnosis. They're now studying tumors and the genetic makeup of tumors, so they know if your cancer is estrogen positive or estrogen negative or triple negative. Like, they tailor your treatment to that type of breast cancer, and they're still working on figuring out more about those ways to treat different cancers. But it seems like we're almost living in almost like a golden age, where you might be presented with these are three different types of treatments, and this one your doctor might say is good for you, but might have a negative effect on your heart, and this one might be okay for you, but you might need it for a longer period of time. So you have to do what's best for you. If you're a younger woman and you're maybe worried about having children later, like, you might have very different concerns than an older person who's going through their cancer and might have a heart condition to worry about. So that's why it's great to have all these options and to talk to your doctor about which one is best for what your concerns are.
We're getting up to the halfway point, but I do want to ask you, it goes so darn quickly. I do want to say that when you get the diagnosis, everybody else does too, your kids and your family, and
absolutely,
you have programming for them, don't you?
We do. We have actually this wonderful new program that we came out with last year, and it's a family program, and it is called Great Escape. And what we do with families is, you know, if a mother's gone through a diagnosis or another close family member, we have programs that include the children, the moms, and the dads, and we go out and do an activity together. So we have one coming up in February, I believe, in Sussex County. It's an escape room. So if you've ever been through one of those, you have to find the clues. So it's meant to be a fun program. It's meant to bring children together who've been affected by the same disease, bring the moms together if they've been affected, and even bring the fathers together to not be in a traditional support setting, not be in a classroom, but just have fun together and talk in a relaxed way about what's on their mind and what they're going through.
This is Focus on the Delaware Valley, and today we are talking with Beth Kralis, who is the Communications Director for the Delaware Breast Cancer Coalition. If you'd like more information, they are so easy to find, it's embarrassing. DEBreastCancer.org. DEBreastCancer.org. Everything that we discussed today is to be found there, including information about an upcoming fundraiser that we're going to get to at the end of the show today, but debreastcancer.org. And I'm Laura Lewis, and let's continue this conversation now with getting into some of your more direct programs. And I'm just going to throw this out there and let you go. And one is that women who are underserved by insurance or healthcare options, maybe they're in a healthcare desert. And then women of color who have other issues involved with this. Maybe it is a likelihood of one type of breast cancer, et cetera, or maybe it's a communications issue, et cetera. So you're programming for these two areas. You want to dig into that?
Sure. Yes. Unfortunately, when it comes to breast cancer, we find that African-American women are often diagnosed with breast cancer less than their counterpart, white women, but they're dying of their breast cancer in a lot of cases more than white women. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Some of it you touched on might be the genetic makeup of their breast cancer being more aggressive. But some of it we're finding is that they're not necessarily having access to the healthcare options that white women have in some cases. So our programs are designed to help break down some of those barriers. So if somebody has a transportation issue, they don't have a car to go to the doctor's office, then they might forego their annual screening mammogram. So we operate the state of Delaware's Women's Mobile Health Screening Van, and it visits actual community centers, churches, health fairs, and provides free and low-cost mammograms to women who qualify, along with cervical screenings, glucose testing, cholesterol, and other information on healthy lifestyles. So anyone who's listening to this who might not have insurance, who might not be able to get to their doctor's office, can give us a call and schedule their appointment. These are digital mammograms, and it's pretty easy to find the schedule on our website. We do visit across the state. And there's other reasons why underserved women don't always have access to the best information available, which is why we go to various health fairs throughout the year just to provide information about, like we were talking about, when to begin screening, maybe risk factors. People know to look for a lump in their breast, but they might not know all of the abnormalities to look for. What we tell women is to know your body, know like be aware of your breast. If you notice something different, that's where you should be concerned. So if you always had a lump in your breast, then, you know, it hasn't changed, then it's probably the normal buildup. But if you notice a dimple, a lump, any kind of discharge, that's when you really need to talk to your doctor, because something that wasn't there before has become a problem area. And that's where, you know, something is going on that we need to further investigate a little bit.
What about women who are at the end of their insurance? Maybe you've had treatment and you need follow-up mammograms and your insurance is not going to cover that.
Yeah. If your private insurance isn't going to cover that, you know, we can help you financially. We can help connect you to other resources. We have funding to right now survivors who are going through their treatment and are either unable to work because they're going to chemotherapy every day or whatever their treatment option is. They might have a gap in their income. So we have emergency gap funding available to those who qualify on an individual basis. So you can give us a call and we can hook you up with what resources we have available, because it is a concern. We have in Delaware screening for life for women who qualify that covers your treatment. But I think what you're touching on is that in-between area where you would not qualify for those services. You would have your own private insurance and you might not have access to all the funding that you need to continue. And we don't want anyone to forego their treatment plan, their follow-up medications. A lot of times someone goes through breast cancer and they might be on a tamoxifen chemo pill for the next 5 or 10 years of your life. So if you can't get that medication because you can't afford it, then that's really a problem. And that's where we try to step in, either helping you financially with what we have available or hooking you up with resources in the community that we're aware of through the hospitals or even the pharmaceutical companies.
And now you obviously have to play nice with other organizations and universities and hospitals and stuff to do all of this. But you also have, I'm going to throw out two things really quickly, and then we'll turn the tables over to some fund that will fund all of this. And that's the Breast Cancer Update and the Quality of Life Study.
Yes. The Breast Cancer Update is honestly one of my favorite events that we put on throughout the year. It's a free educational conference. It's taking place on April 10th this year at Dover Downs, and it's panels of information on the latest on breast cancer diagnosis, treatment, survivorship. You hear from perspectives of physicians, just medical experts. We're having nurse navigators, a panel on their perspective this year, and other doctors and resources that are available throughout your treatment plan. And you'll hear from the perspective of some survivors who've been through their breast cancer journey. And they're sharing it with a community built up of survivors, general community members, nurses, other medical providers. We have continuing education credits available. So it's a jam-packed day, 7:45 to 2:15. So if anyone's interested in joining us this year, they can visit debreastcancer.org to register. And it's really great. Our keynote speaker this year is Dr. Fox from University of Pennsylvania, and he's spoken before and he has a great perspective. So we invite not only survivors, but just general community members to join us for this conference. And it's meant to educate the community, like you just said. And I think the second piece that you had just mentioned was our quality of life study, which is a great way for our local nonprofit, which is mostly focused on programs and services. We've entered the field of research in a unique way with this quality of life study, where we've been keeping in touch with survivors through their experiences, how having the resources of the Delaware Breast Cancer Coalition has affected their life, whether it's been helpful, whether there's more we can provide. And this information will be put out by our Barbara Goldberg and Associates. They're going to put out this information into more of the research. And I think what we'll be able to find, hopefully, or, you know, if what we believe to be true is true, then it will just show how some of these programs, like having a peer mentor, can affect your breast cancer journey, whether, you know, using resources like the annual breast cancer update makes a difference in your life. If you learn something new at the update, does it change your risk of breast cancer? Does it change your treatment plan? Does it just make you have a different experience than you would have otherwise? So that's the purpose of the study. And we've done other areas where we've gone into the field of research. We've recently awarded our second research travel grant to a University of Delaware post-PhD student who's researching 3D tunable breast cancer cells and metastasis. He's doing some great work, and it's interesting to us because we know that there's this whole field of people who've been diagnosed with breast cancer who go through their treatment and then they're fine, and then 20 years later, if for some unknown reason, they might get a new diagnosis of breast cancer, or they might find that they have stage 4 breast cancer. So we don't know what wakes up those cells that were previously you were told you were cancer-free, and then one day, 20 years later, you wake up with breast cancer, and it's stage 4. So that's what this researcher is studying, and it's great because we've awarded him this grant, and he went to a conference in December, and we hope that he continues with his research and helps us to end this disease.
And, of course, everything that we've talked about so far, you're going to find it at debreastcancer.org. That's debreastcancer.org. Now, you've got something coming up, and because somebody's got to pay the bills for all of this, mm-hmm. and you have events throughout the year, but the one that's coming up right now is Lights of Life Goes Disco. So every year you have this big gala, and you want to give us a little rundown about it?
Yes, absolutely. We are very much looking forward to our annual gala. It is our biggest event of the year, Lights of Life Goes Disco Nights. So we have a disco theme. It's going to be lots of fun, and it's taking place on Saturday, February 24th at Dover Downs Hotel. Every year, this event brings together survivors, community members, businesses for a lot of fun, a lot of honoring survivors and remembering those we might have lost to the disease. We have a breast cancer survivor fashion show, which is probably the highlight of the evening. And this year we'll feature 7 survivors wearing local fashions from boutiques throughout the state, and they have their special moment where they get dressed up and their family and friends are there to support them. So that's truly something to look forward to. But we'll also have live and silent auctions. We have an amazing selection of items, which you can find on our event website, debreastcancer.org/lights. And some of these things you can't find in stores. So we hope you'll check out our auction catalog and get excited for things like a signed Philadelphia Eagles football by long snapper John Dornbos, sweet seats for NASCAR, a week's stay in a luxurious condo in Fresno, Colorado, and other kinds of trips and entertainment and experiences. It's a lot of fun. And this year we're selling two different ticket options are available. So you can join us for the VIP experience, which is 6 to 11 o'clock for $125 a person. So that'll include dinner, open bar, dancing, live and silent auction, and the fashion show. But if you just want to come to support someone, but you're not interested in being there for the whole dinner and earlier portion of the evening, you can come on our Silver Mirror Ball dessert and dancing ticket for $50 a person. And that will be from 8 to 11 o'clock. And that will include the fashion show, auction, 2 drink tickets, and dancing, and dessert. So we hope that we've given people some options so that they can join us. We don't want anyone to miss out because it really will be Delaware's premier breast cancer event.
And of course, if we can't attend on February the 24th, say we're out of town, how do we support you the rest of the time of the year?
Well, if you can't join us, then we'll be sorry to miss you, but we have lots of other opportunities. If you're interested in donating an item, if you have a business, you know, we're looking for items for our live and silent auctions, so you can certainly participate that way. Also, new this year, we're having a memorial board at our event to honor breast cancer survivors or remember a breast cancer survivor. So if you visit our event page, you can purchase a memorial for someone who's been affected by the disease, even if you can't attend the event. Just visit our website, debreastcancer.org/lights, to find out more about that. You can also sponsor the event if you're interested. We're taking sponsors up until the very last moment, so that's available. But if you can't join us for this event, we understand. We have more events happening throughout the year. We have partnerships that we do with different organizations who want to support the cause, and you know, this is, you know, you could customize it to what you want it to be. So if you have a restaurant and you want to have a special breast cancer awareness night, just contact us and we can work with you to make it happen. We can provide you information. We have walks in May. We have a bunch of walks happening once the weather gets nice. So hope you'll check our event page for more information, or you know, check out our website and see how we can help you.
And, of course, everything we've talked about is found right there at the website, and that is debreastcancer.org. It's the easiest one of all, and I messed it up. debreastcancer.org for the Delaware Breast Cancer Coalition. And they are easy to locate, and they do have the traveling van. You can get information about all the information that they have for your community group if you're interested in getting involved with them. Again, debreastcancer.org. And here's where I say thank you to Beth Kralis. She is the communications director for the Delaware Breast Cancer Coalition. Thank you for coming in today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome back anytime. And of course, for more information, debreastcancer.org. And of course, if you tuned in late today, or if you'd just like to rehear the show, you can always find it as a podcast at mix995wjbr.com. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.